Welcome back, and get ready to build a Rager Reese base that actually works in a drum and bass arrangement, not just in solo. This is going to be all stock devices in Ableton Live 12, beginner-friendly, but still proper club-weighty. By the end, you'll have a floor-shaking low-end with a clean mono sub, a moving Reese mid-layer, and enough arrangement movement to carry a real drop. First, let's set the mindset. Indeed, NB, a bass sound is not just big. It needs a job. The sub gives you weight, the Reese gives you motion and attitude, and any extra texture gives you character. If those jobs get blurred together, the mix turns to mush pretty fast, so we're going to build this in layers on purpose. Start by creating a new MIDI track in Ableton Live 12. Drop in an instrument rack, because that makes it easy to separate the sound into different layers. Inside the rack, make two chains, name one sub and name the other Reese. That alone is already a huge step, because now you can treat the low end and the movement independently. On the sub chain, load operator, set it to a simple sine wave. Keep it mono, no glide for now, no fancy stuff, just clean, stable fundamental. That's the backbone. In DNB, the sub should feel like it's supporting the kick, not fighting it. If you can hear too much character in the sub, you probably have too much harmonic content in there. Now on the Reese chain, load another synth, like operator again or analog. Use two saw-style oscillators and attune them slightly. We're talking small movement here, not extreme chorus land. Something in the range of 5 to 15 cents to tune is enough to get that unstable rolling texture. If it starts sounding too blurry, back it off. The goal is tension and motion, not a giant washed-out pad. A really useful thing to remember here is that the Reese is supposed to live higher than the sub. Don't make both layers try to own the same space. The sub should sit at the root and below, while the Reese can live an octave or two up. That separation is one of the keys to getting heavy low end that still translates on a big system. Now shape the sub first. On the sub chain, add EQ8, then saturator, and if needed, a utility. Use EQ8 gently. If there's any unwanted top end, roll it off around 120 to 150 Hz. You do not need to get aggressive with the EQ. A lot of beginners carve too much too soon and make the bass weaker than it needs to be. If the sub is boomy, you can make a small cut somewhere around 45 to 70 Hz, but only if that region is actually causing trouble. Don't EQ by habit. EQ by problem. Then add saturator and keep it subtle. A little drive, maybe 1 to 4 dB, can help the sub read better on smaller speakers without turning it into a crunchy mess. If you want to keep it extra clean, leave it almost untouched, and keep the width at zero or the chain fully mono. This is non-negotiable for DNB. The sub lives in the center. Now let's build the Reese movement. On the Reese chain, add auto filter, saturator, maybe overdrive or amp, and then EQ8. Start the filter low pass, and set the cutoff somewhere in the 200 to 600 Hz range, depending on how open you want it. Lower cutoff means darker and more underground. Higher cutoff means more bite and more aggression. Add a little resonance, but don't go crazy. You want motion, not whistling. Then add saturator to give the Reese some attitude. Push it a little harder than the sub. 3 to 8 dB of drive is a good starting point. If you want it dirtier, you can add overdrive after that. But watch the tone carefully. Too much distortion can flatten the bass and make it lose its punch. In DNB, distortion should add edge, not erase the foundation. At this point, even without automation, the Reese should already feel alive because of the detune. That unstable motion is the classic Reese character. It gives you that classic rave tension, that jungle energy, that rude but musical attitude. If you want a darker, heavier edge, you can try amp as well. Just keep listening for when the sound starts losing its low-end authority. Now let's make it feel ragga instead of just generic Reese. This is where phrasing comes in. You can do this two ways. The first way is with MIDI writing. Make a bassline that has space in it. Use a long note on a strong beat, then a shorter answer note off the beat, then a gap. Ragga and jungle bass lines often feel conversational. They don't just hammer constantly. They answer the drums. They leave room for the snare. They build tension by not saying too much all at once. The second way is with rhythmic gating. You can use gate or even autopan, with a square shape to chop the Reese into a rhythmic pulse. If you use autopan, try syncing the rate to 1/8 or 1/16 notes and keep the amount moderate. This gives the bass a vocal, choppy pulse that feels really nice in raggy-influenced DNB. The trick is to keep it musical. If the chopping starts feeling random, simplify it. A good beginner move is to use the gated version in the first half of your drop, Then open it up later. That way the listener feels the section evolve without you needing an entirely new sound. Now let's talk stereo, because this is where a lot of people accidentally break the mix. Keep the sub mono. Let the res have some width, but only in the upper harmonics. If you make the whole bass wide, the low end gets weak and disappears in mono. That's the opposite of what you want. DNB systems love a centered sub. That's where the impact lies. So check your mix in mono regularly. If the bass suddenly shrinks or gets hollow, it's too dependent on stereo effects. Pull it back and make sure the core sound still works when everything collapses to the center. That's real world translation. Now let's bring in movement through automation, because one static bass sound won't carry a whole arrangement. The easiest and most effective moves are filter cutoff and distortion amount. Automate the auto filter cutoff so it opens gradually over 4 or 8 bars. That gives you an energy lift without changing the actual notes. You can also automate the saturator drive or overdrive amount to make the second half of the drop feel harder. Another great move is width automation on the res layer. You can start slightly narrower, then widen it as the phrase develops. That creates a feeling of expansion. Just don't overdo it. We want power, not fake size hype. In DNB, restraint often hits harder than constant maximum energy. Now put the bass into a proper arrangement shape. Don't think in terms of a loop forever. Think in phrases. For example, in a 16-bar drop, bars 1 to 4 can establish the main Ragger Rees idea. Bars 5 to 8 can add more grit or a slightly different rhythm. Bars 9 to 12 can strip something away and create tension. Then bars 13 to 16 can open the filter and widen the Rees for the final lift. That call and response feeling is huge. One bass phrase says something, the next one answers it. Sometimes the answer is lower. Sometimes it's shorter. Sometimes it leaves silence before the snare. That space is powerful. A bassline that knows when to stop sounds heavier than one that never breathes. Try this as a simple starting pattern at 174 BPM, a long note on beat 1, a short answer note on the offbeat, then a gap before the next bar. Keep it minimal. If it works with the drums, it will feel much more confident than a busy line that's fighting everything else. Now group the two chains into a bass group. Add a compressor with sidechain from the kick. Keep the settings moderate. Ratio around 2 to 1 or 4 to 1. Attack fairly quick. Release somewhere around 50 to 150 milliseconds. You're just making room for the kick to hit cleanly. You do not want the bass to pump in a dramatic way unless that's the style you're after. In most DNB, the duck is subtle but effective. If the whole low end feels muddy, try a small cut around 200 to 350 Hz on the bass group. That area can fill up fast. If the bass feels thin, check whether you've cut too much from the res. And if the top end is too sharp or fizzy, tame the 2 to 5 kHz area a bit. Always make decisions by listening with the drums, not in solo for too long. Now here's a really useful pro move. Resample the bass once it feels good. Route it to an audio track. Record a few bars and work from the printed audio. That makes arrangement easier because you can chop, reverse, mute, and duplicate hits quickly. In live, duplicated clips with small edits are often way more effective than endlessly redesigning the synth. And for DNB, that workflow is gold. You can mute one note to create a gap, reverse a hit for a transition, or duplicate a stab an octave higher for a quick lift. Those tiny edits can make a loop feel like a real record. Here's the big takeaway. The bass should feel heavy because it is organized. Clean sub. Moving res. Careful stereo. Intentional spacing. Gentle automation. And arrangement choices that answer the drums instead of just looping forever. Before you finish, do one important test. Turn the volume way down. If the groove disappears at low level, the bass is probably relying too much on hype from distortion or width. A strong bass line still has shape and movement when it's quiet. That's a good sign. So your challenge now is simple. Build a 4-bar Ragger Rees phrase using only 2 or 3 notes. Add one long note, one short answer note, and one gap. Automate the filter opening over the phrase. Put a kick and snare under it. Then bounce or resample those 4 bars and make one tiny edit. Mute a note. Reverse a hit. Duplicate a stab. Something small. Then listen in mono and make sure the low end still feels solid. If it does, you're not just making a cool bass patch. You're making a real DNB tool that can live in a drop, a breakdown, or a switch up. And that's the difference between a sound design exercise and a track that actually moves people.